We mentioned in the beginning of the perek that by Shoah Mu'id is a Chumra and Kula. What is that? So we know that if a Shoah Mu'id kills an Eved, there's a Kesef Kotzuv Omer Ba'atere Shloshim Shekel, pays 30 Shkolim, and it's irrelevant of the value of the Eved. Echot Shehemi says, Hanoe Sheba Avodim. Whether the ox gored a very valuable Eved, Noe, some learn, means physically or strength-wise, Vesakeyor Sheba Avodim. Or Eved that's worth very little in the market, either way, nice and Shloshim Sela. Either way, you give 30 Sela. That's the Lahakul Lahachmer. However, if he went and he killed a Ben Choyrin, Hamis Ben Choyrin, Noisain Shavyav, then he gives a value. There happens to be a Machlekes in Bava Kamma and many Sukkis Hashas, whose value he gives. One Mandoma says Noisain Shavyav means he gives the Dmei Nizik, he gives the value of the Nizik, which is a simple way to learn. So that means if the Shor kills a Ben Choyrin, they evaluate this Ben Choyrin, what he's worth in the market. And that's what you pay. And the other Mandama says you pay the Mei Mazik. You pay the value of the owner of the Shor. So Rashi goes out of his way to say that our Mishnah holds it's the Mei Nizik. Unclear. I mean, Rabbeinu Gershon clearly says it's Lav Dafka. Rabbeinu Gershon in his Pirush in our Mishnah, see Rashi states, Noisein Shovyov, Dichsiv Bemuot, Im Koifa Yushas Olov, Vitanya Bebavakame, Vinosan Pidyoy Nafshay Dmei Nizik. So Rashi says this is talking about Dmei Nizik. And Rashi really is very difficult. Rashi makes it out like there's one opinion here. There's not one opinion. There are two opinions above Bavakame. In that Braisa, there's a Machlekes. And Rashi says that this is going only like that opinion. So if you look at the Rabbeinu Gershon, he goes the other way around. It's obvious that Rabbeinu Gershon doesn't mean Dafka, but L'chari, he means it doesn't matter. He says that, Noisin Shavyov, what does Noisin Shavyov mean? Shobal HaShov, Ahenu Koifel. Vimtim Tzoloimer, Shavi Shomumas, Hainu Domi. Kidoma Bebovakama. So Rabbeinu Gershon just gives you both options. He says, Shavyov is either means the value of the owner of the Shah, or it means that the Mei Nizik, which then it's called Domim. That's what's called Domim. Clearly, Rabbeinu Gershon is not saying that it can't be talk going like that, Mando Amar, because actually the Lashon HaMishnah of Shavyov is not a contradiction with Domim. It means the same thing. I think what Rabbeinu Gershon means to say, just as that the word Shavyov doesn't limit from saying it's the Mei Mazik, because all Shavyov means is the value, his value, who's him. So it's opened. On the other hand, if it would have said Noisin Domov, or Noisin Lefi Domim, then we would be stuck into Rashi's way of learning, which is that Rashi learns we're talking about the Mei Nizik. But because it doesn't say that, the Mishnah doesn't use a Lashon Domim, the Mishnah uses a Lashon Shavyov, so it's not limiting. The word Shavyov could mean the value of the Mazik, the owner of the Shor. But again, we have to understand what forced Rashi to say that our sugya. We usually don't do that. We don't make an ukimta say that our Mishnah is going only like one opinion. As Rashi seems to be saying that this sugya has to be going like that Mandoma, who holds his Dmei Nizik, which is that if the Shor kills a Ben Chorin, you pay the Dmei Nizik. So we'll see what the explanation then is. So the Mishnah says, Ben Chorin Noisin Shavyov. Choval, what happens if instead of the Shor killing, the Shor caused damages? Bezeh bezeh Noisin Nezek Shol. Obviously, the Shor Amur always pays Nezek Shol. So if it caused damages, inflicted damages, rather than the killing, then it has to pay Nezek Shalim. So So now the Gemara just goes through his opinion. Why is this dafka muid? Be muidin betam loy. Lema masnit and the loy ke Rabbi Akiva. This is going out like Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva omer af tam, even if you have a short tam that didn't gore three times, if it's chavul ba'odom, mishalim be moisar nezek shalim. So the Gemara says, afilu temer Rabbi Akiva. But we weren't talking about Chavola here in the Mishnah. We were talking about L'chatchila, we were talking about Knas. We were talking about the Shloishim. Afilu tam Rabbi Akiva. Hu adin afilu tam nami. Fa'aydi deboi l'misli sefer, since the Mishnah wanted to say in the sefer, meaning the end of the Resha, Hamis evet, Hamis ben choyren debemuru de mishkachaslo. Only by a muid. But by a tam loy mishkachaslo, mishimohi k'toni muid. So Rashi says, I become a safer, it doesn't mean safer, it means the safer of the ratio. Okay, so obviously the din misa would only be applicable, and koifer would only be applicable to a shamoid. But in a chanami, chavola could be, would apply also to a shartam, and therefore the Mishnah can go like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so that's the Gemara. So there are several questions we have to understand here. Like I said, first of all, we have to know why Rashi guided us to only learn the Mishnah, like the Mandoma holds Palga, that Koifer, when you pay Koifer for Ben Choyren, you're paying Dmei Nizik rather than paying Dmei Mazik. That's question number one. Question number two is the whole Lahokal Hachma here is difficult. And if you look in the Shiurim of the Brisker Rav, in the Kisfei Hagriz, he's actually bothered by this. He says he doesn't understand the whole Lahakal Hachma here. Because the Shloishim, the whole concept that there's Shloishim, that you pay Shloishim, is a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush. That you pay Shloishim. Right? So that's not Lahakal Lahachma. That's not Lahakal Lahachma over here. That's the din of Shloishim. The Torah was Machadish. That if a Shor kills an Eved, he has to pay Shloishim. So, Why would we say it's lahakal and lahachmer? It's not lahakal and lahachmer. Lahakal and lahachmer is where there's some kind of underlying logical payment, right? This moment, and now you're dealing with the moment that's going up and down, like we had in the last mission, the pigeon, when you're redeeming something back from Hector. So if you're redeeming it back less than its value, that's a chiddush. That's a kula. We explained even erichin works that way, because erichin, what you're really doing is being makdish the person. And then you're being paid to the person back less than the value. That's how we learned Erech. But when you're dealing with the Shloishim Shel Eved, that is a Kesef Kotzev, it's a Knas, that the Torah was Machayev. And that is not a Chiddush that it's Lahakal and Lahachmer. That's just a flat rate Chiv. So why does the Mishnah even use the terminology Lahakal and Lahachmer? So that's really a shtaka kash on the whole Mishnah. I guess the Olam to look up the Rambam. Very interesting that the Rambam, two interesting Rambams, one right after the other, and two prokim. First the Rambam in Perek Yud, Halacha Yudalit, the Rambam says Ye royally. He says it would seem to me in Svori, even though there's no sugya to support it, Shafal Pisha Tam Shehem is ever a shifcha potter, he's potter from Knas, Shal Shloishim. Imhem is Shaloi Bekavono, if he was made Mishaloi Bekavono, Mishalim Chatzid Meha Evid. He should pay half. What does the Rambam mean? Why not? Stamal Tzmazik. Should pay half of the dam. That's why the Rambam says, I don't have a Gemara to support this. But I don't need a Gemara to support it. Stop it like that. Why shouldn't you have to pay? The Rambam. The Ravid comes, and the Ravid holds that the Svor is not Mochach. And the Ravid says that since the Rambam is not basing this on a Gemara, he's just saying it's logical. The Rambam is saying it's logical that if the Eved, if you went ahead and you, instead of killing Bekavona, you killed Shaloi Bekavona, so now he's a mazik. Just like if your shor inflicted damage on anything, you have to pay chatzi nezek. So why shouldn't you have to pay chatzi nezek? So the Ravid says, I hold that the svor is not mechuvah. Now really, when the Rambam argues, he doesn't really give, the Ravid, he doesn't give a logical reason why he's arguing with the Rambam. So I think even though the Ravid uses the lashon hasvor in mechuveres, he doesn't mean logic. He means halachic logic. That the Rambam's svar is not correct. Because if the Rambam would be correct, he presents a great kasha, the Ravid. What would be, and this is really a question on our Mishnah, what would be if somebody's ox went and killed somebody, an Evet, and he went and he was moider? He was moider. My ox killed somebody. The aloch is moider b'knas potter. Right? Logically, so let's analyze this. That's clearly he doesn't have to pay the 30 shekel. He was moida. He says, moida that his ox killed somebody. Moida b'knas potter. That is no shayla. Everybody's masking his potter. But there is a whole tumul, actually, is a sugyim of a kamen and gimel. What would be with the domim? The value. Okay, the value of the evid that your ox killed. Now, logically, the value should go back to regular nezikin. If you're moider that your ox created inflicted damage, the halacha would be you pay for the damages. We don't say you don't pay for the damages. So the svara would be, so really our Mishnah itself is a little questionable. Because our Mishnah says, Bishoa mu'it shehem says ha'odom lohokalu lahachmer. And the Mishnah says, Ketzad. Doesn't make a difference if he killed the most expensive evet. Or he killed the cheapest evet, he's always paying the shloshim. Really, it shouldn't be so pashut. Because if you're moider that Yeshua killed an evet, then there should be a difference. If he killed a noah, he should pay the value of a noah. Because now you're not paying knas anymore. You're moider b'knas potter. See, really, it would seem that by the shloshim shel evet, you're better off not being moider. See, by a regular knas, you get off cheaper. Because by a regular knas, if we take out the knas, we isolate the knas, you potter completely. The Torah says a ganav pays back double, kefil. If the ganav is moider, he only pays back the keren. So he saves money by admitting, he saves money. Yeah? But it would seem, besvore, and I'm going besvore. Besvore, if somebody is moider by the shloshim shaleva, he loses. Unless his ox gored an evet that was not worth anything almost. But if his evet gored an ox that was worth a couple of million, or a couple of hundred thousand, and now he's moider, so he's actually losing. Because now the knas goes out the window, and now we just look at it as nezikin. But really, our Mishnah is kemat muchach, that's not the halacha. Because our Mishnah doesn't give that opening at all. Our Mishnah says the only time you pay lefi domim is if it was a harag ben chayin. Our Mishnah is mashma that if your shor kills an evet, no matter what, you're never going to pay more than shloshim. Shloshim is your ceiling; that's the height of your expenses. L'chayr it should be if you're moid or not. So actually, there's a whole tumul in Bava Kama about this. What happens if a guy's moid? And we paskin, and that psak is really muchach in our Mishnah, that if you're moider that Yeshua went and killed an evet, that you don't pay the value of the evet. Because then our Mishnah doesn't read. Our Mishnah says that it doesn't matter. Shor Amur is always going to pay l'hok l'achma. Always. Is that true? So the Ravid says that if you, Rambam, are right, that when the shor goes and he kills somebody, shaloi b'kavona. There's a chi of domim. So what you're really telling me is that there's two separate components. When a shor kills an evet, there are two components. There's chi of chavola. There's a chi of damages. And then there's also a chi of knas of shloshim. And it happens to be you don't pay both. You don't pay both. So the Rambam is saying, but if I isolate the shloshim, if I took that out of the picture, then of course you'll pay the main nizik. That's the whole Rambam's here early. What's the Rambam saying? It's logical to me that there's no reason why you should say you don't have to pay for damages. To make chavola. Just like if your ox went and didn't kill an evet. Your ox caused damages on an evet. That everybody's masking. There's no machlekes. If the ox went and caused damages on another evet, you have to pay. Like shoreh v'chamor, like you always have to pay. So that there's no machlekes. It happens to be that the halacha is that if your evet, if your shor killed an evet, you have a knas of shloishim. And once you have the knas of shloishim, you don't pay the mammon. Yeah, you don't pay mammon. But if we took the knas out of the picture, why shouldn't you pay mammon? That's the whole point of the Rambam. The Ravid is saying, I have a raya not like the Rambam. Because if the Rambam would be right, then if you're moida that you're shor gored, and the knas is out of the picture, then you should have to pay the mechavola. And you don't. That's the pshat in Ravid. The Ravid says, Omer Avrom, hasvor azu einu mechuveres. It's not logical. Sharei ha-piyatz mo'yom ha-rovid aloy mishalem koifel. Afilochi mishalem domim, right? That's by Ben Choyr. Ulegabi eved, domim nami loy mishalem. By an eved, you don't pay domim at all. That's it. So therefore, he says, if that's the case, amai mishalem chatzi domim, mistavre, bein be Ben Choyr, bein be eved, domim mishalem, bein apiyas men shalom bekavonim. So the shaila is, in Svore, why is this taka? In other words, L'chayr the Rambam is right. L'chayr the Svore is taka that you should pay domim. If we take the knas out of the picture, you should pay domim. Logic dictates that's the way it should be. If we take the knas out, you should have to pay domim. That's the logic. The shaila is, why is it the taka not like that? Why shouldn't you pay the knas? The domim. Makes sense. And clearly the Rambam is going to have a mahalach. Why, when you're moide, take your potter completely, because that's the Gemara Bava Kama. The Rambam is obviously going to make a two-track system. The Rambam is going to say like this. If Yeshua went and killed an Eved, the Rambam is going to say you take and you're moide that Yeshua killed an Eved. The Rambam is going to take say your potter. That's what the Rambam is going to pass it. Potter completely. But if Yeshua killed Shaloi B'Kavona, then the Rambam is going to say that you're chayiv. So the Rambam himself is going to have to give us a mahalach and how he's thinking. The Rambam is clearly thinking that it depends if the reason why you're potter from paying the 30 is because you admit it, then taki you're potter from domim also. But if the reason why you're potter from the 30 is because of the Shaloi B'Kavona, then you do have to pay the domim. It's very difficult. Very difficult. But that's clearly the Rambam's approach. Now, if you look at the next halacha, Perek Yud Aleph, halacha Aleph, if you look at the Rambam, the next halacha, it says like this, Kama hu ha-koifer? How much is koifer? So the Rambam says, Kimoi sheyiru ha-dayonim. This is talking about an eved that kills a ben choyre. A shor that kills a ben choyre. So by Ben Choren, you pay the full value. Shalos, who's full value? Right, but you pay the value. Domim. So he says, the Rambam paskins it's the main nizik. Like Rashi, the way Rashi is making our mission. Shehu demei anerag. Hakol lefi shov yoshel nerag. It goes by the value of the nerag. Shenema venosam pidyo nafshoi kekol asher yushasol. That's what the Rambam says. But then he says, listen to this. So, till we got to our sugya, we understand there's a very clear difference between if your shor kills a ben chayrin, or your shor kills an eved. If your shor kills a ben chayrin, then it's money, it's domim. And we call it koifer. Koifer mamoina, the Rambam holds. Kufra mamoina. It's money. You pay the value of the nizik. It's money. That's called koifer. When your shor kills an eved, that's not mamon. It's a flat rate. That's called knas. But the Rambam makes it sholent. If you look at the Lashon HaRambam, he says, he goes into koifer what you pay if your eved kills a ben chayrin. There's a new perek now. Perek Yud Aleph is a new perek, and he's talking about a shor that kills a ben chayrin. Over there you pay a monetary payment. Comes the Rambam, and then he says, he chazes over the din of koifer avodim. The koifer avodim, ben ktanim, ben gdolim, ben tzchorim, ben akevos, הוא הכנס הקוצב והתויר שלושים שקל. שלושים כסף. How did the Rambam? Why does the Rambam use the word koifer? Koifer is only by Ben Chorin. Koifer is a payment. It's a monetary payment. It's the main nizik. The Rambam just finished saying it's the main nizik. So if the Rambam holds that koifer is the main nizik, that means it's a monetary payment, and the payment that you give an eved is knas, why does the Rambam now, when he goes through the halachas of koifer, he goes, by the way, koifer for a ben chayrin is value. He says, and koifer for avodim, it's flat rate. It's koifer. It's not koifer. So this is Rav Naftali Top, Zeichat Tzadik Levrocher, the Radno Rosh Hashivin, his chidushim in Bavakam, in the Shiurim, he has this rakash on the Rambam. So I don't understand why the Rambam integrates koifer of a ben chayrin, and then he talks about the 30 of an eved, which is not. It's not koifer. It's actually knas. And he himself says it. After he calls it koifer, he says, koifer avodim, ben gdolim, ben ktanim, shloshim. And then he says, but you should know, hu haknas hakotzov bater. Then all of a sudden he goes back to knas. So what is knas? He starts off like this. He starts off with koifer. Then he sandwiches in avodim. And then he goes back and he calls it knas, which is not koifer. What's the pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam's obviously telling us something here. So, I think the simple bio to get a better understanding of this is it's obvious that the 30, the shloishim shel eved, is not just a knas. It's different. And the truth is, when we get to the next mishnah of Oynes and Mefata, we're going to have to say the same thing. And that's really the Brisker Rav's question. If it's tam a knas, just a blank knas, then it doesn't make sense that this is lahakal al hachmer. It's not lahakal al hachmer. This is the knas of shloshim. It's not tam a knas. The pshat is that our Mishnah is telling us an unbelievable chiddush. Our Mishnah is telling us don't make a mistake to think there's different kinds of knases in the Torah. Person might say shema, pays knas, it's the pay knas. And eight zoyimim, according to the Gemara in Makkos. The whole sugya there with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbon and Eitzoyimim Knosso. Right? Knas. What does Knas mean? Knas means that when we make the Eitzoyimim pay, it's not Mammon. It doesn't reflect Mammon. It's not a Mammonistic payment. It's nothing. It's not at all connected to damages. And that's why generally we say that Kesef HaKotzev Batreva is Knas. Because generally what we mean is that if you're paying a flat rate, it's not reflective of damages. Because any damage-created payment has to reflect the damages. If it doesn't reflect the damages, it means it's not for the damages. That's the simple way to understand it. And really, until we came to our Mishnah, that's the way we would explain it. We would say, koifer, if you're knas, shloshim shel eved, if you're shor kills an eved, the mere fact that even if your shor kills an eved that's worth 1,000 shekel and you pay 30, it means it's nothing to do with damages. It's a new kind of payment. It's a knas. It's nothing to do with the damages. That would be the simple way. But the Rambam held that if that's the lumdus in the payment of shloshim, then the Mishnah makes no sense. Like the Brisker Rav is asking. It's not lahakal and lahachmer. It's a flat payment. It's nothing to do with it. It's not reflective of something. Lahakul lahachmer means if something is reflecting something else, it should be more, and we're being mekel. But if it's not reflective of what the damages were, it's not lahakul lahachmer. Says the Rambam, al kochach state in our Mishnah, that the shloishim shel eved is damages. It happens to be that it's reflective of the damages, and the Torah said that this is the payment that you're going to pay. This is the knas that you're going to pay for it. But it does connect to the damages. The Rambam therefore held, that's the reason why it has a kula and a chumra. First of all, the fact that the Torah said that the damages, which are reflected in this tashlum kotzav, right, is always 30. No matter how much the damages were, that alone is a kula. Because it is reflective of the damages. But the Rambam held a different chiddush. And by the way, the Brisker Rav says this beferish. The Brisker Rav says he holds that the 30 of that an eved pay, that you pay for an eved has to be reflective of the actual damages that you caused the eved. Otherwise, b'chal. So the Rambam, I want to tell you, held like this. He held that this also creates a tremendous kula, another kula. And that is, that's why if you're moida, you're potter from the damages. Why are you potter from damages? Moida beknas potter. Somebody goes and he's a ganav and he steals. And then he's moida that he stole. There's no havam and he's potter from the keren. The principal you have to pay, because that's mammon, that's monetary. You stole $100, you got to give back $100. If you admit, you're potter from the second $100. There's no havamin in the world that you're going to be potter from the first $100. $100 is principal, it's mammon. Why in the world would the halacha be that if you're moider that your eved killed an eved, that you should be potter from the money? There's no svara to it, b'chlal. The teretz is because the knas absorbs the damages. If the knas would be a completely different track, nothing to do with the damages, not reflective of the damages, then ain't a chanami. You can slice it like a piece of cake. The knas is out of the picture, now we have the mammon to deal with. You got two layers that have nothing to do. But if the Torah, when the Torah gave the knas of the shloishim shalevet, the Torah absorbed the nezikin, the damages into the shloishim, and now you became potter from that shloishim, that's the reason why the Gemara and Bava Kamma, the way we paskin, that absorbs the damages too. The same ptur that you're getting from the knas, it wipes it off, it cleans it completely, right? Bounty, you got it all clean, because once you removed the knas, the knas already had in it integrated into it the moment. When we say in the Zikin, you have to, the way I'm explaining you, there's two ways to look at a knas. Hyper knas, the simple knas, means the Rebbeinu Shlom is giving you a slap. The Torah HaKadosh is giving you a slap. Okay? You did something bad, you didn't want to go, or whatever it is, you're getting a patch. That's the other way knas works, and every knas is like that. To know what the knas is. Is the knas compensating for something? Or is the knas just a slap? Okay? L'moshel, a person has some Pesach, he's over by Yom Yimotzei, after Pesach, he can't have an oil from the Chometz. Why can't he? He was over. He did an Aveira, he gets a patch. Now he can't have an oil from the Chometz. Midrabon, we pass him the right of Shimon. Chometz is mutu b'hanor, but the Torah says, you're over by Yom Yimotzei, you get a patch. It's a whole shim. Only a knas. What happens if your son yashened it? The Noda B'Yuda has a tshuva where a guy died of Pesach. His son yashened. He had no time to get rid of it. That maybe they don't make a knas on the That's one type of knas. Clearly, that would have been the simple way to learn the shloishim shalevet. You didn't watch your shor. Your shor went out and killed somebody. We're going to give you a patch. It's a patch. The other way to learn the knas is no. You know what? You inflicted monetary damages here. Your shor inflicted monetary damages. Because your shor inflicted monetary damages, we're giving you a patch. Knas is taking into account the fact that you caused damages. That's the knas. The knas is, because you caused monetary damages, you're getting a flask. Right? So it reflects the damages. The knas reflects it. You're getting a patch for those damages. So if it's reflective of those damages, now when you become potter from the knas, it wiped away the tashlumin too. The tashlumin was taken into account. The damages that you created were taken into account when we gave you the knas. But whether you pay the knas, you pay the shloishim, or you become potter from the shloishim because you were moider, that wipes away the chi of tashlumin. And that's why our Mishnah says, since the Shloishim is taking into account the damages, so really it should go up and down based on the value of the damages that you created. Because if we're giving you a punishment for damages, not compensation, a punishment, but the punishment is reflecting the damage. That's what I'm saying. It's good you raise this issue because it has to be made clear. We'll put it into three categories. There's Tashlumin. Tashlumin means I caused $100, I got to give back $100. Okay? So the payments, that's not punishment. That's why many hold that by Nezikin, let's say, there's no din of ein oinshim and adin. There's a whole sugi in Bava Kama, whether we say oinshim and adin. Normally, we don't punish somebody with a kal v'chema. But the Gemara in Bava Kama brings down a whole kal v'chema. And this, and so Tosfos himself talks about the shaila. How could you punish somebody? So the Rishonim answer, amen, we do oinshim and adin. By monetary issues, we do use a kal v'chema to create an oinish. So, the question is why? So, I always gave a simple teretz. It's not an oinish. It's not an oinish. It's compensation. If I owe you $100, that's not a punishment to me, that's a compensation. It's my money gaboch. So, that's one type. Type A. Now, well, it's not a svara. Because I don't, no. Because if I borrow $100, if I'm, let's say I'm goyer mehezek to you. So maybe I don't have to pay you. I only have to pay you for damages that I did be a dayan, right? So now each one of the nezikin has weaknesses. So maybe that type of damage, I don't owe you money. That's not the point, is that, but once I owe you, I'm not being punished. I'm paying what I owe you. Okay, that's category A. Now we'll go to an extreme. Knas. Stama knas. You said edus about somebody, false edus. Bezdin was mechayiv him to pay. He never paid at the end. Now it's an eight zone, and now you have to pay. It has nothing to do with compensation. In fact, it has nothing to do really with the fact that you would have caused, he didn't even pay at the end, the other guy. The Torah HaKadosh is giving you a punishment. You said false testimony, you're getting a patch. The money has nothing to do even with Yavera. The Yavera is the same. If you would have said that he owes $100, if you would have said he's a Ben Gushim and Chalutze, whatever you would have said, the Avera was that you went and said false testimony. The money that you're paying is not reflective at all based on what the damage is. There's nothing to do with it. So that's an extreme. Now we come to Shloishim Shalevet. And what is Shloishim Shalevet? So we know Shloishim Shalevet is not compensation, regular compensation, because it's a knas. Now, is it the extreme of a category like Azama? The answer is no. What the Shloishim Shalevet is an oinish cause of the damages that you created. Created damages. The Torah says, you know what? We're giving you a flask. You're getting a patch. But you're not getting a patch because you didn't watch your Evet. You're sure. You're getting a patch because you're sure inflicted damages. Right? Now, if that's the case, so the knas reflects the damages. Then it would make sense that if your shor created $1,000 worth of damage, you should really be paying $1,000 or more. Let's say it's not $1,000. But if we're punishing you for $100 damage, 30 shekel. So for $1,000,000, we punish you more. The bigger out there. That's kulalah. All kulalah here is that after all, since the knas reflects the damages, it should go up and down based on the damages that Yeshua created. And it doesn't. It's the Chiddush. But the fact that the Mishnah says that that's it, the Rambam saw black and white in our Mishnah, that it means that the 30 of an Eved is reflective of the damages that you created. Otherwise it wouldn't be Lohokul Lohachman. Well, it all ties into that sugim bava kama of whether you're moida that you're eved, you're killed an eved, do you pay anything? If we hold you don't pay at all, that's a raya that the 30 absorbed it. So once we have a raya to that, that's the whole sugim bava kama. The Gemara brings a raya that if you're moida that you're eved, you're sure killed an eved, you don't pay, that proves that the 30 absorbs it. Because if the 30 doesn't absorb the nezikin, you should have to pay. Good, I'm murdered that my Evid killed somebody. Killed an Evid. So I don't have to pay the knas, but I should have to pay damages. So that's the Rambam. That's the pshat in the Rambam. And the way the Rambam learns, our Mishnah is much more glatt. Our Mishnah is very logical. Comes the Rambam, and the Rambam says now is next Chiddush. The Rambam says, I hold that there's a big difference between murder b'knas, and between a shor shahorag shaloi bekavona. Moida beknas means there was an obligation for you to pay knas. But because you were moida, you wiped it away. By you admitting, you wiped away your obligation. So then the Gemara says, Enechlami, you wiped it away. It includes the damages which were reflective in that knas. And now you got a voucher from paying the knas. So the p'tur of paying the knas includes the damages, says the Rambam. But if the way the damages were created, the way Yeshua killed the Eved, there wasn't to begin with a knas, so now it never got absorbed. Now if it never got absorbed, now we look at it like a regular nezikin and you have to pay. Why in the world shouldn't you have to pay? That's the pshat in the Rambam. Yehor li, it would appear to me, that although in Chanami, if you're moided that Yeshua killed somebody, that would have washed away everything. That's only because the shloishim reflects the damages as well. But now that there's no chiv at all, the way your ox killed the individual, there's no chiv of kaifer to begin with. There's no chiv shloishim. Comes the next Rambam and he says, you know what? I consider the tashlume knas also kaifer, because it includes the kaifer payment. That we ask the kasha, the granatz kasha. Why does the next Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph say that he's calling the shloishim shalavet also kaifer, and then he calls it knas? Because the teretz is it's a knas that has in it absorbed the payment of kaifer. That's the one. Has in it the tashlumen of kaifer. No, so now let's just go to Rashi. Now we understand also why Rashi forced us to say that it's the main nizik. Because if it's the main mazik, that would mean that there's never a compensation for the damages. If even in a case where it's real, in other words, the way we're learning, what's the law halacha of our Mishnah? Because there's a monetary payment that normally is due when Yeshua kills an that monetary payment is absorbed in the shloishim. And that's why it's lahakel and lahachme. Yeah? But if there is never a monetary payment, because even if your eved would kill somebody, bekavoneh, even if your eved would kill a ben chayrin, you would be paying your value, not the damage value. That means that even the regular payment doesn't reflect the damages, then it won't be a chiddush in the koifer that it's lahok, that in the shloishim shalavet that it's lahok lahachmer. The whole reason why the Mishnah is a chiddush the way we're is because the Mishnah is telling you there really is money due here. There's damages, and that those damages are reflected in the knas. And since they're reflected in the knas should go up and down, and it doesn't. The fact that the knas doesn't go up and down, even though it's absorbed in it, the koifer, that's the chiddush. Says Rashi, 1 second. It must be then that ben chayrin also goes up and down the damages that you create. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a chiddush that the koifer doesn't go up and down. The shloishim shalavet doesn't go up and down. The reason why the shloishim shalavet is a chiddush is because since the shloishim shalavet reflects the damages, so it should go up and down based on the damages that was created. Says the Mishnah, and it doesn't. That's the law of Lula Hachma. Says Rashi, I hold that that's only a chiddush. That nekuda is only a chiddush. If you tell me that if Yeshua actually was chayef to pay damages, there would be a scale of up and down based on the damage level. But if even a Yeshua killed a ben chayrin, there's no up and down, then it's not a chiddush that the 30 doesn't go up and down. Because the whole chiddush of the 30 is because it reflects the ben chayrin value. And it doesn't go up and down. But if you're telling me that even when you kill a ben chayrin, it doesn't go up and down, so then it wipes away the chiddush of shloishim shalevet too. Exactly. So it never reflects the damages. So that's it. That's poshut. So that's how I think how the sugya flows. Okay. Just hop the next mishnah quickly. I just want to give you a similar way to look at the next mishnah, because that's really the main challenge here to understand the lahakel and the hachmer. Ba'ayinus hu b'mefate lahokul l'hachmer. Ba'ayinus hu b'mefate, it's also lahokul l'hachmer. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, what is lahokul l'hachmer? So again, if somebody is ma'anus in Isha, so he has to pay. When he pays the chamishim sloim, that's a flat rate. So the Mishnah says as follows: Lahokul l'hachmer. Ketzad. Echod she onas upito gedolah shebekune. Whether you did the onus, you ma'anis the gedolah shebekune, or you were ma'anis the ketana shebe Yisrael, noisein chamishim sloim. You give 50 sloim. No matter what, you give 50 sloim. Va'aboishes va'apagam, and the boishes and pagam, that means the embarrassment and the devaluation. If this woman were to be sold, somebody would buy her as a shifcha for his eved, it would go down in value. So that, hakoil lefi amavayish v'amizbayish. Again, this Mishnah, we have this really the same difficulty we had in the last Mishnah. And that is that the chamishim sloim is a flat rate. It's not reflective of any kind of damages. It's a knas. So why is it a chiddush that it's lahakul lahatmer based on who you were ma'anis? If you were ma'anis a bas koyin, or you were ma'anis a bas yisrael pshuta, what's the difference? That's not lahakul lahatmer. If you look at Tosfos, he points out another interesting question. The bottom Tosfos, yesh teima ktsas. The b'mishnah toni, echor agdoilu shebekuhuna, ve'echor aktana shebeyisrael noisem chamishim. He says, if you look in the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about poishes and pagam, we see that gdoilu is a bas malachim. Normally, when you talk about a woman, a chosh of a woman, you don't base it on kuhuna. Stam, dignified, a bas malachim. Why does our mishnah base the chiddush of lahokel and lahachmir based on kuhuna and yisrael, when in fact we see lagabi boishes and pagam, we don't call it that. We call it bas malachim, because you can have girls that are very valuable because they come from an aristocratic family. Nothing to do with their yichus als kuhuna. That's Tosfos' question. Tosfos implies that even though this is a tema, there's an answer to it. Yesh teima ksas, whatever that means, right? It's a pella, but it's only a little difficult. So, I think in order to get a shtickle beer, so this, by the way, this question again is asked by the Brisker Rav, as to what is the lahakal and lahakal. The Brisker Rav here says like this, kiven the boishes who pagam mishalom lufi amavayish from his bias. He says, boishes and pagam, you're paying based on value. And the reason why the Torah gave you a knas is because of the Hanah Shechiva, because you lived with this woman. So if that's the case, what's the difference who she is? Im kein b'mach cholok l'inyin zeh g'doyle shebekuhunu k'tana shem Yisrael. Ve'ein kan lohokel u'lohachmer. That's the Brisker Rav's question. The same question we had on the last Mishnah. Meaning, the knas anyway, and here you don't really have the teretz. Because you see, in the last Mishnah at least we developed a way of thinking that the shloishim shalevet absorbs the damages, right? But here you can't say that, because here, boishes and pagam, you're paying separately. That's a separate payment. And the boishes and pagam taka depends on who she is. The boishes and pagam doesn't follow the flat rate. And the chamishim shekel knas is because hanah shchiva, because you lived with the woman. There's no difference in living with the woman, having relations with the woman, whether it's a gedolah shebekuhuna or a ketana shebeyisrael. It's the same thing. So, actually, the question we asked in the last Mishnah is even more difficult than this Mishnah. It's more difficult. So I'll just tell you one mahalach, something you can elaborate much more on, but just to give you the aside, that will answer this very, very, very pashut. Very galat, very pashut. What's the pshat in this piece? There's a famous Rambam in the Mishnah Torah in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus. Very difficult Rambam. The Rambam there elaborates what was before Matan Torah. He never does that by anywhere else. The Rambam says, "Koyde Matan Torah, Before Matan Torah, Hayadam Pegeish Abishuk, you meet a woman in the street. If you both mask him, you give her money, and that's it. Pay her. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's mutter. Says the Rambam, Nitna Torah v'nishat shalocha, sheyikno isa techila. The Torah came and was machadash, that first you have to do kiddushin. And then you can live with him. That's the Rambam. So what's difficult about this Rambam? Obvious. This Rambam could be found in any part of the Mishnah Torah, and he could have said the same story to us. Right? Hilchus Trumas Amaisis. Koyde matan Torah ha-yadam l'kei achitim v'oichel. Right? Nitna Torah v'nishat shalocha, you have to take Trumas Amaisis. Hilchus Trum. Koyde matan Torah adam kom ba-boike v'oilech la-voide. Right? Nitna Torah v'nishat shalocha tzorech l'nich tfilin tchile. It's no end. Hilchus Brochus. I mean, It's a late song. I mean, the whole Sefer Mishnah Torah. The Rambam could give us history, what was before and what was after. Only place where the Rambam does that is in Hilchos Ishus. And it's the only thing he says. He says, you should know, Koyde Matan Torah was like this. La'acha Matan Torah, we have a mitzvah to be koyde a woman first. That's the Rambam. So I'm very astonished. There's many, many different approaches to answer the Rambam. But I always learned the Rambam, I felt it was a simple way to explain the Rambam. Very, very basic. You know, there's a whole question in the Rishonim. It's really based on the Gemara, whether Pilegesh is also Lahegit. Many hold that Pilegesh is also Lahegit, that's how Rambam Paskins. It's only Mutter Lemelech. What is a Pilegesh? So Pilegesh is something that's a Deraisa concept, especially if you hold a Pilegesh is also Lahegit. The Gemara brings one interpretation that a Pilegesh is somebody who's Kiddushin B'loik Suba. That's what a pilegish is. A pilegish is a woman that you makadish her, but you don't give her a ksuba. There's two opinions. One opinion says a pilegish is nothing. Beloy kiddush and a beloy ksuba. So, the question that everybody asks is that we know that the Rambam Shita is that ksuba is never deraisa. The Messiah Zuz that we give to a Bas Yisrael, a Basula, according to the Rambam is not deraisa. And that's why in a good bona fide Svaldish Ksuba, it doesn't say, V'yahivne l'chimor b'sulaychi kesef zuzi mosan, d'choze l'chime d'raise. Because it's not d'raise. In a Svaldish Ksuba, it says, V'yahivne l'chi, you know, mor b'sulaychi kesef zuzi mosan, d'choze l'chi. Not mid'raise. It's talking not mid'raise. So the kash everybody asks in the Rambam is that this doesn't make sense. According to the Rambam, how could a Pilegesh be a Pilegesh because she doesn't have a Ksuba if the whole Ksuba is not the Raisa? This is the Raisa concept of a Pilegesh. According to the Rambam, you're not allowed with the Raisa to live with a Melech could have a Pilegesh. A regular person can't have a Pilegesh. What is she missing? She's only missing a Ksuba. And a Ksuba, according to the Rambam, is only with the Rabbanan. So how can any Pilegesh be a Raisa Pilegesh? Midaraisa, Midaraisa should be a regulation ish. If the only thing she's lacking is a ksuba, and the Rambam holds that ksuba is not the raisa, so every pilegesh is a regulation ish. It seems to hold on. It doesn't say you have to give her some of the mayor. First of all, mayor, everybody holds is the Rabbanah. So what? Stop, whatever you like. I mean, there's no mocker to it. Put it this way, there's no mocker to that. Either it's super teraisa or it's not teraisa. So the emes, what you're saying, really, you're a shtickle machavim to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in Simen Chavov and Eben Ezra unveils a whole new approach, which is mamish fascinating. Gvaldik pshat. And I have a diak from the Rambam and the Meir Nevuch to this Vilna Gaon, the way the Vilna Gaon learned. The Vilna Gaon says that really ksuba is always the raisa. Not what David was saying, you have to give her something, some amount. Not that. But the Vilna Gaon learns that there's two ksubas. There's a ksuba that we know of, that we talk about when we, when we marry a woman and we write out a shtar that we have to give you a Messiah Zuz. But then there's another ksuba. There's a ksuba which the Vilna Gaon calls Sher Ksus V'Oina, which basically means your obligations to your wife. When you marry a woman, it's not a one-way street that you're taking her as a wife and she has shibudim to you and you fly by night, you do whatever you want. No. You have obligations to her. In fact, even midaraisa, your wives, 20 wives, midaraisa, says in Ksubas, you can only marry as many women as you'd be able to support and do your obligations to them. Because it's not nechosim lahavdil. You buy property. You have no obligation to what you... Here it's not that way. Here it's a two-way street. When you marry a woman, there's obligations to the woman. The Vilna Gaon said, those obligations are ksuba. Share ksuba is ksuba. Okay? As I zok the Vilna Gaon. He says, and that's pshat. The pilegesh, there's no chiyuvim there at all. It's kiddushin like a pilegesh is like a monetary ownership where you are acquiring her, but she can make no demands from you. That's a pshat a pilegesh. I once had a musar dikavort. I said, that's why, according to some, I've shown him, when David HaMelech had a child through a pilegesh, the child grew up to be a mushchis. Because a child who grows up in a home where his mother, where the relationship with his mother was only to take, so that's a assault in the child. The child loses also, but that's a side issue. But the bottom line is, that's a pilegesh. What does that mean? That means that the concept of ksuba is the raisa. If you look in the Rambam and the Meir HaNevuchim, and he says, where does ksuba come from, the concept of ksuba? He says, you know what? It's already here from before Matan Torah, as I said to Rambam. He says, look at Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda went to live with Tamar. Tamar starts making deals with him. Matitainli, what are you going to give me? What's she making deals with him for? She wanted that Yehuda should live with her to be out Malchus Beis David. The Teretz says, the Rambam, that was Ksuba Geld. So you state in the Rambam. What do you see in the Rambam? That you were never allowed to have a one-way street relationship. In the Ishas. It's always two ways. This was even before Matan Torah. The Torah came and said, besides for that, there has to be Kiddushin before. That always existed. The relationship has to be a two-way street. That always existed. The Torah was Machat. That's Shad in the Rambam. Koy de Matan Torah. If a person met a woman, he wanted to marry her. Hoyo noy sein schova, which was really Ksuba Geld. And live with her. When the Torah came, the Torah didn't get rid of that. That's still there. The Torah came now and said, Tzorech liknoi seis atchila. Besides for that, you have to do Kiddushin before. That's the difference. Ksuba is an exchange, but then there has to be a pre-Kinyan before. Now I want to tell you like this. What's Oynes HaMefata? Oynes HaMefata, really, the person went ahead, he was ma'anis, a woman, and he didn't give her anything. It's ma'anus him. So when he's ma'anus a woman, he now be'etzem owes her a ksuba. The knas reflects the ksuba. Because he went now, had a relation with the isha without anything in exchange. Now I'm going to read for you the Ramban in Parshas Mishpati. Says the Ramban, the Omar, the Torah Akdosha said that if you're ma'anus a woman, that you have to go and give her, she yishkol al yodei kesef, she yitnu anoshim l'psulei san nisayis. He says that you should get memela, ve'hem lo yitnu lo moya. The people that would marry her now won't give her the ksuba that they would have given her before. And therefore, tzorech hu she yifreenu. Pay it back. So even though it's a knas, it reflects the ksuba damages. And that's why it's lahakal lahachmer. Who did you give more ksuba geld to? Kohuna. Bas koyin got talad meyazuz. So now the Mishnah is very geschmack. Since the tashlumen of the Oynes HaMefata reflect the moyar, and the moyar of a bas koyin is higher than the moyar of Yisrael, so it should be more. The Mishnah not. That's the pshat. Okay, we'll stop here.